Welcome to the Clubhouse, episode 7.
7 or 8?
7.
Hola, 7.
Condolences.
7 minutes of
But no, but to be honest, that's a big loss to the rugby community in Zimbabwe. Larry was a good man, all smiles, good man,
yeah.
Very good man.
Leaves behind his wife, I think, 2 kids.
Jeez.
She was also taking care of her sister's child, I think, so
it's
quite young. I mean, say age, but you know, it would be helpful if the rugby fraternity could continue to support in that regard, because the way Zim is right now, it's not easy. It's not easy for any family, it's not easy for a young family, and it's definitely not easy for, you know, a widowed lady who's left with young mouths to feed.
True.
So
hopefully
keep them in our prayers, and hopefully our union can do its best to support the former Madeleine North.
Madeleine North
chairperson.
To be honest, on Saturday I think black armbands are a must.
Definitely.
Are a must.
It's not even in schools, clubs, everywhere.
Yep, it's a must. Like, that guy was just, he knew so many players, such a good person to talk to, always positive, and of course he told the truth, spoke the truth, and tried to offer solutions when he could. And believe me, in Zim rugby, that's very rare.
That's true.
That's very rare. But into another loss this week, or a loss to the game rather, is James Haskell is retired. Finally, the toe injury took hold. The toe injury just got to him now, so he's done. Another retiree. I mean, this game, you know, it's becoming more and more apparent that rugby's a young man's game. You know, it makes you think. 34. You're only 34. You're retired.
Yep.
That's real, bro.
The toll is real. The sport takes a significant toll on anyone.
Yeah, well, it's an impact sport. It's a collision sport, rather, as some people put it. So, it is. It was, eh? I'm sorry. I don't know how these kids can do it these days. Watching the dairy board last week.
Yeah.
School kids running into each other at a rate of knots. You know, you're thinking to yourself, oh, these kids are murdering each other.
But then again, they are younger, you know, their body can still recover.
Yeah, their body can still recover, because some of the, like you're saying, some of the games we're watching were played at such intensity. It was immense. It was absolutely immense.
Did you watch any games, BMAC, at Derby? No?
Fortunately, I couldn't.
Why not?
Did you say fortunately or unfortunately?
Unfortunately.
I wouldn't blame you for saying fortunately.
Fortunately.
I wouldn't blame you for saying fortunately.
Unfortunately, I couldn't. I was occupied all week. I had one of my best friend's weddings on Saturday. So we were busy with that.
Oh, nice. Well,
you didn't really miss much, mate.
I heard the score lines. It's quite surprising.
Yeah, yes.
Especially when I had George's Jones there. My God.
Over there.
I don't know. Look, I don't know.
No, we discussed this earlier on, Jane. No, let's move on,
you
please.
You used to put on his 2 cents.
No, nah, but
I don't, go ahead. I don't know what was said last week because I wasn't here. Apparently,
actually, this
was
week
raving about my leg. But anyway, we'll leave it there.
Oh, is that why the name calling? I was wondering. That's why you're being a potty mouth.
I actually don't know what it is. If our previously talented high schools are being arrogant, or they're not putting enough effort, or they just don't have the talent anymore, or talent from other schools has caught up and overtaken. I don't know, but it's concerning.
It's concerning that the Giants are being brought down.
It's concerning that our level of rugby in the country is imbalanced.
Expand.
So let's have our top schools. Falcon wasn't there, obviously. Peter wasn't there either.
Peter also went there.
Yeah. So we had our Georges and Johns. We had our Prince Edward. We had our Churchill.
Excuse me.
We had our Gandhi. Eaglesville. Kyle actually is really doing good. And they've been on the, you know.
Kyle actually.
Up. They've been on the come up for a good. It's a decade now that they've actually been. Because the first time they beat Georges at. When it was still Kotko was in 2009, when Maraba was was actually captain of my Vikings.
2009.
Hey, they beat them 10-3 or something like that. So they've been on the come up. But yeah, what is good about having all those teams perform at their best means. Our quality of rugby is good.
Is it though?
I'm just speaking in an ideal setup.
Okay.
Because 2009, if you look at that year, we went on to Craven Week. Craven Week, I think that was the first year that won all three of their fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
Craven Week.
Mm-hmm.
That year is the year we qualified after Ireland, is the year we qualified for Junior World Rugby Trophy for the 2010 in Russia. We actually beat Namibia in the final 39-0.
Mm.
And that year had maybe 2-3 streams. So the streams that followed as well, obviously, respectively qualified.
Right.
Now, not all the players. Actually, all the players on Craven Week have to be in the country. So, all those guys were in the country. They were made up of Kyle, CBC, Prince Edward, St. John's, Peterhouse, St. George's. I think... Was there an Eaglesville?
Was there no Falcon?
Falcon was there as well. Ranga Zembe.
What about Msaruru?
And Taito was not...
Taito Craven didn't make it.
Taito made started in a Taito school World Cup qualifiers basically.
Okay.
But there was Falcon. I think when a Malin. Kyle Malin. That's also the year when a Kyle Malin Yavagaroa. Kyle. Nima Vikings. They were not expecting that and they got given. Because that back line was just fine. The back line was the 100 meters relay team. Athletics. Yegukayo, Maraba, Brian, and who are the other guys. I actually don't remember the other guys. Basically, these guys would just hit up and unders, wings, chase, collect ball, score. But yeah, like I'm saying, so you see, one of those, it was that generation where we had a very good, strong team, strong group of youngsters who were made up of players from a large group of schools. We will have a problem if a bulk of a national team squad, whether it be at schoolboy level, at national team level, if our players are coming from one or two clubs, if your bulk is from one club or from one school, your style of playing might be good enough for you to win in Zimbabwe. As soon as you leave Zimbabwe,
not out there,
best believe the rugby that you're playing out there, the opponents that you're facing out there, what your performance has been doing here is par to enter. It's not par to winning, it's par to enter.
Can't compete.
So if you expect to win with that same style, we've already got a problem. So the good thing about having a broad selection pool and a broad mix of players is that as a coach at that level, you can't just say, okay, these guys are coming in and doing this. No, that's not your basis for selection anymore. Your basis for selection is if those groups of players that you've selected or if that particular player that you've selected fits into a game plan or a playing mode that is acceptable at that level that we want to be competing at. And if they're going to be good enough to fit into that, that's actually the key when we come to talking about national teams and provincial sides. Because you're not just saying, oh, you know, because they can play the way they play at school, they can play the same way here and win. They can play that way. They've got an understanding of the game and they're adaptable. So if they come here, they are going to understand what we want to do here. They are going to be able to adapt so that we can play in this way and win in this way.
At that level.
They're good at that, but they can also fit into this. And, you know,
the only way that can happen, though, is if the coaching is right from the beginning.
Yeah, definitely.
This is where we always get it wrong. We focus on the coaching far too late. It's not the coaching at high school that's important. It's not the coaching after high school that's important. It's at the grassroots, the very grassroots, primary school.
Throughout.
It's most important in primary school because it's easier to teach an 8-year-old kid how to pass than it is to teach an 18-year-old kid how to pass.
You have to unteach what they've learned themselves.
Exactly.
Then you have to start doing
I mean, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked at some of the things I've seen. I've seen primary school kids flying into tackles with their head down, arms out here like a plane landing like this.
Literal body on the land.
Literally. You know, and these are primary school kids. And I remember I asked this one kid, like, what are you doing? He's like, this is how I tackle, sir. And I said to him,
Who taught you
this? And he's like, my coach. He told me the coach's name. I was like, I need to speak to this man because the way you're tackling, you're going to get a concussion or break your neck.
Right.
You know, and that's the problem. We don't set the foundation. In South Africa, primary school kids are throwing into lineouts, lifting in lineouts from under 11s. Under 10s, under 11.
Kunokuma under 10 and under 11s were playing without shoes. And you don't jump.
In primary school in South Africa.
Don't jump.
In primary school in South Africa, you're playing with boots from under 9. You're playing with boots.
You know what you're mentioning sounds like in SA, they've formed the conveyor belt where from the very beginning, grassroots, the bottom level, they're like, we're going to instill the following.
Think of all the...
Think of
the top 20 countries.
Yeah.
Ireland was the same thing. Ireland was the same thing.
Yep.
England is the same thing.
New Zealand is even ahead of what these guys are doing. So
the beauty of,
like you're saying, that conveyor belt, as soon as you get on, what you're going through is what you need to go through in order to be at least eligible
to be picked.
To be picked. I mean, or to have a shot at it.
I mean, yes, you may fall by the wayside at some point, but that's up to you as an individual as to where your ceiling is with skill set and so on and so forth.
Because the opportunity to do it, you're being given.
Yeah, exactly.
So which is also to say that if you were at school A and you move to school B won't be doing anything alienating. The stuff tends to be nearly the same.
Yeah, and even that, look, there's ways of capturing all the talent. Like in Ireland, there's a system where you had your guys who were in the top schools who'd play cup rugby mm-hmm. in the top schools. You know, so you'd have your Blackrock, Clongos, Kilkenny College, Ross Cray, Gonzaga, all these schools that had their cup competition. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the side you had the clubs. So obviously in the schools, because these schools were all private schools, there was more money, the training facilities available. So you didn't have to worry about these kids being conditioned and stuff. But with the club players, because you're only training twice a week, you know, it's a club. There's not so much money. It's not like everyone is paying thousands of euros in school fee, in membership fees. What they did was, like Leinster would have RDOs and YDOs, regional development officers and youth development officers. So now you'd identify the talent, and you'd say, okay, you guys are training in this place every Wednesday and Friday, for example. Then you've got your club game on your Saturday. If you're playing for your school, you play your school game midweek. You know, it's not that, yes, it might not be the top tier school, but you're playing two games a week and you're training, you know, and you're training at the intensity they want you to train. And then you're going up. So all the way from under 15, 16, 17, 18, under 18s, you've got your school system and you've got your club system. So there's no disconnect.
Right.
There's no disconnect in terms of when you come together, because you play schools under 18s and clubs under 18s,
mm-hmm.
and then you play schools under 19s and then clubs under 19s, and then after that you play together, you play as unified under 19s, and then you go as under 20s. But there's no disconnect, and it's very, very competitive. You know, and that's where I see in Zim, there's such a disconnect between, yes, as we may say, things are getting they're getting closer and closer, but they're not really. Okay, they're not really. Let's be perfectly honest. They're not really. And if anything, we can say standards are actually slipping. Everyone is just becoming consistently getting worse and worse till we're meeting in the middle.
Which is below the level we need to be at.
We're meeting in the middle, you know. And I mean, taking nothing away from Kyle and Hillcrest, like the guy that, and Gandhi to an extent, and Gandhi, yeah, the teams that really played some very entertaining rugby and were eye-catching in their performances. But let's be honest here, Kyle required a team full of, what, 19-year-olds?
Oh, by the way, we had a whole long discussion about this on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, and that's again is no it's no disrespect to Kyle, but again, it's also a thing with the system. We've got too many teams with 19-year-olds playing. There are too many 19-year-olds that are playing schoolboy rugby at the moment.
But it's also the way maybe our school systems, or I don't know which sphere it is. Within the rugby fraternity.
That says it's okay to repeat?
That says it's okay to repeat. That says it's the biggest accolade you could aim for
to represent
your first team at high school level in your life. That you're willing to sacrifice, willing to maybe
your
change
life
birth certificates, you know, willing to put your life on hold.
Hold you back from your own stuff.
Like you know. You probably don't know as much, but you know.
Yeah.
The amount of people, the rumors that go on about, this guy's got two birth certificates. This guy's got two birth certificates.
But look, some of them aren't rumors. Some of them are real.
Yeah, well, I'm saying rumors to be diplomatic about it.
Yeah. I'm not going to mention the school.
We can't do that.
Even the guy. But I remember when I was in Form 1, started playing, obviously, under 14As. At Form 1, I started playing with this person. In Form 1. Which means also, he's in Form 1. I'm using Form 1 because this is the start of. You can't be Form 2 and be under 40.
True.
It doesn't work. So I started playing with this person, Form 1, all the way through high school.
You can be. I was in Form 2 and under 14. If you're a year younger.
Yes. But
you're an exception to the rule.
All right. Yeah, there are a few people like that, all right? On a Gauvin.
Go.
So yes, Form 1, what is grade 8? It's grade 8 in South Africa.
Yeah, grade 8, yeah.
Stand, yeah.
My multi-standard.
Room.
It's also, year 8.
Excuse me?
Year 8 in England, or year 9.
Year 9.
Year 9.
Year 10 is 14.
So yeah,
I think.
Started with this guy at that stream,
mm-hmm.
all the way through high school. My stream finished high school in 2008.
Yeah.
In 2010, I was in Zim for, obviously, under 20s Junior World Rugby Trophy. I went to St. John's College watching the then PE Tigers that we were training with and stuff like Anatso Mondo. I think they were in Form 4 at the time. Late. Okay, I'm watching this school. They're actually just. Okay, so I'm watching this school and I recognize the center. I know this guy.
He looks kind of familiar.
Kind of a little too familiar.
He got a beard at all, but.
So I'm saying, nah, no beard.
He's a school kid.
So I recognize him. I'm like, but hey. This is that guy I played with in my stream. Finished 2 years ago. This guy is on the field representing his first team at a different position, obviously. He's big guy, he's playing, you know. He was in the forwards when we were playing. This guy's in the back line now, playing center, baba. I was
like, ah. Movement speed.
So, life is good when you're still. Because honestly, after high school and you start playing rugby at these crazy levels, mm-hmm. you realize, hey, eh, we had it easy
yep.
at high school. We just went pushing ourselves. But obviously, because you're a youngster, you don't know that. You actually think you're doing your best. So yeah, we get there. I'm saying, this guy, he actually recognizes me. And we say, what up to each other?
Remember Zim.
But he's there. Same thing happened at that Kwese tournament. Youngsters from another school were on the field. And youngsters who finished high school about 2 years ago were in the crowd. And they started talking amongst each other. They're like, hey, do you remember this guy? We played against this guy.
My fans.
He was in our stream, but he's still on the field. And we had uni. So things like that, you know, they don't help our rugby. Because those players obviously aren't eligible for selection for
yep.
your Craven week. Even if it's your under 19 qualifiers, you actually can't.
This was mentioned actually in
he's turning
last few 20, last
so he
podcast.
Actually can't do that. So it doesn't help.
No.
Because now that position is being cut off from someone who's eligible and someone who's probably good enough
yep.
to be in that first team and to also be selected for the national team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Chain reactions.
It's a bit selfish. From the player, from the coach to know what's going on and to push for it, okay. just to say that we beat whatever, never, we were unbeaten.
Never mind the player.
The union.
Okay? Because kids are stupid. Okay, kids, these lighties, if they're told that rugby is everything to them, they'll believe it 100%. Mm. My issue is with the coaches, the people that actually allow this to happen, and again with the parents. Surely you know what year your son was born. Surely you can understand that, okay, fine. My kid is 20 or 21 or 21, but he's playing against 17 and 18 year olds. Surely you as a parent can be like, ah, but hey, okay, son, what are you doing?
What up?
What are you doing? You know, and
but you know, coaches and kids work together to lie to their parents and try who can crook them. You know this. Like in junior, I know we allowed
the coaches, the best players friend.
Over
That's some amount of nonsense. But anyway, yeah, as we were saying, we got a lot of work on. I think our school's game has potential. It really does. As always, it has. We've got some of the best natural athletes as well. You know, on the continent, I'd be very comfortable saying that. But we need to figure out a way to harness that talent and actually hone it properly. And it can only start from the very lowest levels.
Mm.
From the very lowest level.
From lowest level and the coaching.
Yeah, and the coaching as well. Like we've covered this topic.
Yeah.
That we don't invest enough as a country.
We tried to cover it, but that's when HB did not record.
Oh yes, we don't invest enough in making sure that everyone. Personally, I feel that if you're going to be coaching in primary school, you need minimum a level one. Everybody needs minimum a level one.
Doug, you need level one to, even if you're coaching ants, G. If you're coaching. You need your paperwork.
For
you
sure.
You can't just say, no, I know, so I'm going to... Nah.
I played, so I
people,
can.
People Let's always, get it right. People always get this issue misconstrued. You know, there's a difference between being a good player and being a good coach.
Yes.
True.
That is a very... It's a very difficult thing.
It doesn't
thing.
Translate.
In very much.
Very, very difficult
thing. Being a
thing.
Good player does not
Two
translate
different things, eh?
Yeah, two completely different things. You know, I mean, I'm trying to think of an example. Of who was a great player. Tana.
Umanga.
I don't know that you're gonna
legendary player. That was just the first thing. I'm not saying he's a terrible coach, but I mean legendary player.
The Blues are not
But he
winning.
Was given the Blues too early in his coaching career. He hadn't developed enough and learnt enough, I feel, to take the Blues to where they needed to
mm-hmm.
be. Whereas if you look at now with I mean, Leon McDonald's done his time and all of that, and look what he's achieved at the Blues at the moment. I mean, with Tana's help, but I think he was too inexperienced mm-hmm. to take a head coach mantle.
A good example of bad is a...
Don't say
Actually,
it.
Not bad.
Don't
okay.
say it.
I don't know if he was a good player to be. It's all right, I'm going to leave it.
Don't say it. Oh, of course. of course.
I really am not going to say if he was a good player or not, but yeah.
I knew that was where it was going.
He's not a great coach.
Not
and
terrible.
he's been in the union circles for a bit too long. He's, you know, he's overstayed his welcome. He was given enough chances, but he's actually still there at the helm of it, and he's taking charge again.
To be
he's
devil's
not, he's
advocate.
Not, he's not good enough. He's not going to take our rugby forward. And we're not doing ourselves as a rugby union or a rugby playing nation any favours by helping a friend out. It's not working for us.
But anyway, let's talk about actual functioning rugby unions. Did you hear the news?
Hololo news. Be specific.
Now Hololo
is going.
He's going
he's
to
out.
London Irish. Ah, he's seen
End of
it.
This season.
He's seen it that the future is very, very bleak.
He's that out.
He's out. End of the season. He signed for London Irish.
He's also going to big.
Yeah, obvious.
All is it big.
Yeah, but do you know why London Irish all of a sudden has money? It's because the Premiership, did you not? The Premiership teams, they're trying to see if they can ring fence it, if they can make it 13 teams. Because there's a lot of money being... I think each team stands to be given like 9 or 10 million pounds.
If they reduce the amount of teams in the Premiership...
No, the Premiership was only 12. But what they want to do is there's a new deal where they ring fence it. So there's no promotion relegation anymore. So they ring fence it. They get given 9 million pounds each. It's like a TV rights deal, I think. 9 million pounds each. Each Premiership team.
That's a terrible idea, I think.
That's why you're seeing a lot of Kiwi guys moving there, and you're going to see a hell of a lot more after the World Cup going to the Premiership.
When you say that, and so that game that you mentioned last week with the Aussies against the All Blacks, the under 20, where the Aussies tied them 24-0. Aussies tied All Blacks 24-0.
Mm.
Now, if a bunch of those, do they have the depth to cover those gaps when those guys leave?
There'll always be
sure.
Oh, New Zealand?
Mm.
No. Oh, hell yeah.
Come on.
What?
Look, the players that are leaving are the established players that have made a name. Because even if you're coming from New Zealand, I think is it the same? Could it 10 caps for your...
I don't know about that.
Because Kunogu, for you to be able to play the top teams that side, or at least to be eligible, you need to have represented your country at national team level with a minimum of, I think, 10 caps.
That's what? That's if you have, if you weren't brought into the academy system?
Yes.
If you haven't been brought into the...
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I don't think people really stick to that rule. To be fair.
From here, they do.
From here, yeah, if you're playing
saying,
in,
I don't know.
If you're from Zimbabwe,
I don't know
playing
what,
elsewhere.
I don't know what the situation is for other rugby-playing countries, but Mkunogu can also say, yo, don't bother.
Neither apply.
Don't bother.
Don't apply. It's not required.
And,
but yeah,
of course,
they also have depth. They've got the players who usually move on are players who've achieved what they want to achieve, which is play for the All Blacks, then they go off to Europe to
just,
make the
just,
bank.
Just look at just Naholo's position, right? The wing. Just look at the depth they have. Okay? They've got Bridge.
They've got your newfound boy.
Will, they've got Will Jordan. You know, this is just from one team. Bridge, Will Jordan, Sevu Reese.
I was about to say, you got
that's
a newfound
from,
boy.
That's three quality from one club, mind you.
Sevu feels like a Naholo, eh?
Who, Sevu? Sevu Reese is an animal.
He feels like an animal.
He is an animal. Jeez. He is a beast.
Kwaka Smith,
he took it.
He felt it.
Alai Malo felt it as well. That hit was just something
he
else.
He didn't get up.
That's just, that sound was just, wow. Was it, hey, I felt it. I'm actually cringing thinking about it. But yeah, you know, so, I mean, good on Naholo. He's had a good career. He won a World Cup, did his thing, and I think he's timed it very well. He's out of form at the moment. He's coming back from injury this weekend, I believe. He's going to get a game. Him and Squire are back.
So, Squire.
Yeah. Is it a Squire?
Squire.
He's back, so that'll be interesting to see. But as I said, Naholo, I think it was his time. You know, he's timed it perfectly. It's the same as Fekitoa. Fekitoa timed it perfectly when he left.
Yes.
You know, so it's interesting. It's interesting times. It's interesting times.
What happened with Julian Sevier? He went to France, right? What was he done? Was he saying, I'm done? Because what happened there?
Sevier and Toulon, guy.
The way he shacked all the way.
Yeah, but let's be honest, right? No, come on. Okay, Bujilal. Okay, he has every right to shout at him, but then don't go overboard like what he did. Bujilal went way too far. Did you not hear about that?
I saw the social media comments.
Yeah, he went way
too
far.
Where people like, look, brother, can you just chill?
Can you relax? Also, you're playing Sevier at 12. He's not a center.
Freaking
he hasn't played center since high school. You're going to play him at 12. You know, so...
Center is high school, and center is level. Very, very different.
You know, so... that was also something...
But him leaving, he knew good. Getting back to that squad is going to be quite tricky for him.
Well, he is. He did what he was good at, very well.
True.
But you can't be an international winger, and you're a left wing, but you hold the ball in your right hand. That's the first thing. You hold the ball in your right hand, okay? Now you're relying on just brute force to just batter your way over the line, which worked very well
until they learned him.
Until
Hooper.
Until you get wingers who are as big as you are, and then what do you do? His aerial skills were all right. They weren't the best.
He was not Israel for now.
And let's face it, in terms of gas, Bruce, Rico had him. Every time.
Rico was exposed. Was it? When was it? Was it last season? When he intercepted it, didn't make it.
And he didn't make it.
Was it this season? Last when was it?
Last year. It was last year.
Exposed.
It was against the Chiefs. He caught.
He scored the first try. But the second he intercepted from the 22.
Who caught him? He got caught by a centre.
Was it not Damien?
It was McKenzie.
Was it McKenzie?
Caught yeah.
Him. Leonard Brown also nearly reeled him in. But hey, having said that, hey, no disrespect to Sevilla, but he had to go. It was his time. Did you hear?
Definitely an exciting player to watch, though. Sevilla. He was exciting to watch. It was always fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, that. I think the best game he had was that. Yeah, that quarter final. He was just out of this world. That game is probably the most. That's the best performance I've seen from All Blacks. That it will always just be. Did you see those tries that they scored?
Nonu, it was from Carter, the beginning.
It kept was going.
Just
from the beginning.
That train was not yet finished.
Minging.
Yeah, you know, that's when you really knew, Daniel, these guys are taking this walk.
Yeah.
These guys are taking it. These guys are going to take it. What? Oh.
You were going somewhere.
Yeah. I'm saying, it leads me to wonder, what do you think their chances are this walk up?
All Blacks, guys, it's not looking good. I'm not convinced. Like the previous World Cup, I was like, they're winning. It's not. There's no options.
I honestly wasn't like that in 2015.
2015, I was.
Yeah, 2015.
2015, I was a supporter, and
you what?
As
I was confident.
As yeah. An All Black, it's always I, man. No matter what or how your team looks, you're gonna say, obvious, these guys are gonna take it. When it was. Evident when it was apparent that it's game over that quarterfinal, because their performances group stages weren't that great,
and I believe they didn't win the championship that year, the rugby championship
yeah,
that year.
They lost to Australia. Then,
yeah, Australia won the rugby championship that
this,
year.
This year,
they kept. That Aboriginal item.
No, that's not
heavy.
The one. That was.
Is that not the year?
That's not the year. Aboriginal jersey was 2017, but so you think it's not looking good?
This All Blacks is not looking good, unless I don't know, but it's not looking good. I don't think, to me, there's so many things that are not settled yet in that camp. Maybe we'll see during the rugby championship in a few in a month or so, right? When is the championship? In a month or so? Yeah, we'll see what it looks like. But right now, I'm like, Smith is out for 8. Ben?
Ben Smith, yeah, out for 8 weeks, yeah.
You know, McKenzie's not there this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Look, I think I still rate their chances fairly highly.
I always do.
Fairly highly. I think
they know how to win.
If they sort out their biggest defensive weakness is the traffic coming back on the inside. That's always been their biggest defensive weakness. If they can get a handle on that, they're good to go. I think they're good to go. I think they've got in Adi Sevilla the most destructive loose forward on the planet at the moment. They've got in Kieran Reid at number 8, who is seasoned. Their front row is seasoned. Their second row is looking brilliant. Their halfback pairing speaks for itself. Where their biggest weakness is, where the biggest opportunity is, and this depends on Steve Hansen's selection, is midfield. If you want to exploit the All Blacks, the biggest opportunity is in the midfield. But now with Uncle Ma coming back and playing as well as he is, you know, it's very, and I feel for Lau Mape. I just feel like, okay, no wait, he can take 5 centers. I mean, it will be Sonny Bill, obviously. Nonu.
SBW.
Obviously. Crotty, obviously.
Did you say Nonu?
Nonu will go.
Because remember when we were talking about this last time, we were like, who's possibly like...
Nonu will go.
Because I was like, that guy is going to go. Because, good
have
Lord.
Have not seen his performance? Leonard Brown will go because he's
Anthony.
Steady.
What's that on?
So it's Sonny Bill, Nonu, Crotty, Leonard Brown, Goodyou. Goodyou starting 13.
Goodyou
starting
you
13.
Is Conrad Smith
Yeah, good use.
Reincarnate.
Oh, good use. Yes, I saved the best for last in naming those five because good you is the good you is the man.
Deceptive. Good you
has no guess. He'll even say I don't have guess.
That's like Conrad, boss.
But he just runs the most incisive lines. You need to watch. Listeners, do yourselves a favor. Go on YouTube and watch all the Crusaders try. There's like an 11 minute long video, Crusaders tries from Super Rugby 2018.
We'll link
and
it.
See how many times Goodyou features.
Dog, there's that win.
How many lines that what, guy runs.
Which was that win when he scored about 60 odd points, yeah?
Oh, Goodyou. Goodyou
was
is
an object of many of those.
Goodyou is unreal.
Oh my
God. And you know what? I'm telling you now, going forward from the World Cup, right? Okay, so they'll have, going forward, 2020, that midfield partnership should be Leonard Brown at 12, Goodyou at 13. Because I'm telling you now,
Goodyou's legit.
Leonard Brown will steady things so well for Goodyou, and Goodyou will just have free license to just carve people up. And then you've got Laomape also in the mix. 2020. 2019, I think he could miss out. I really think he could. I guess it depends on if Crotty's glass jaw breaks or not.
Ooh. Okay. Good you.
Because Crotty's had three concussions last year. Mm. Yeah, think about it. Last year, three concussions.
That's a good number above what you should be near.
Yeah, that's about as many as you've had in your career.
How about two? What's this myth that you allowed five before they're like, you know what?
That's not a myth.
Three.
What is that rule? What is that? Are you allowed five or whatever before they're like, you know what, guy, listen, bro. You might want to stop doing this.
I think...
You can only suffer so many concussions.
CTE. I think, to be honest, I think it just goes with the individual and the severity of their head knocks. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It goes with the severity of the head, knock. Because, I mean, if you look at George North, that one has been KO'd how many times in a rugby pitch? How many times?
Ben Smith has had a minashuma.
Ben Smith had a last chance saloon, but it's fine. Because when Ben Smith retires after the World Cup, Will Jordan is going to step into his shoes. Will Jordan is the man. Have you not seen Will Jordan?
That boy can do
that
things.
That kid can move.
That guy can do things.
6'3", Baba.
He's a big boy.
He's a big kid, and he can motor, and he scores try. I'm telling you. Like you're saying, the conveyor belt is there. If the, okay.
It's like Jody Berry.
Jody.
It's like Colin Slade.
Bro. Yeah. You know what's good? No, but Jody is still also playing well. So now this is the thing. Like there's so much depth. There's so much depth right now.
There is, yeah.
And look at the average age, right, of these guys. 21, 22, 23. All of these young guys.
Reese's Pieces.
And that's not coincidence. This is just a plan that they've had a long time ago that's working out now. They figured, look, we need to realize our talent early. We need to expose these guys to this level earlier so that we get a lot more
Braden Inu
out of their career.
Forgot Braden Inu.
Forgot.
That one. That. The gas he has at 13 is just insane. Sometimes
Blacks,
you wonder.
All Blacks can do it, World Cup.
I think they can do it. They can do it if just the pack rocks up.
If they screw up, it will be their own
doing.
It will be their own doing.
Yeah, I know. Let's see what they can do. I think the championship will let us know what's available. Because that's like in a few months.
But now, Commander, the championship, they're going to take it.
I prefer if they don't take the championship, to be honest.
Surprise! The World Cup.
They're going to take
it. I think they're going to use the championship to really get their final combinations right for the World Cup.
Exactly.
Is there any major country tournament in Western, Northern Hemisphere?
The Six Nations?
No. Before the World Cup. This one is done. Anything else before?
Nope. No, okay. Just Six Nations. And then they got their World Cup warm-ups. So, Six Nations, Wales looking good. Apparently, Ryan Gatland says they don't know how to lose. They've forgotten how to lose. You know, but why would you say certain
things? I don't like that guy. I like those ones.
I like Owens like that.
Just keep it quiet.
Bah, when the day comes, oh, you remember now, eh?
Just
you had amnesia, but now you remember.
Just keep it to yourself.
Doesn't Wales have like this wonderful injury count that always occurs?
I don't think this time. I think they've planned it well. That's going to be one hell of a quarter final, Wales and England.
Oh, you're already calling it.
But boys, Namibia.
Nam.
My well wishes. The more they play,
the better they get.
The better they're going to get.
And they're getting better.
The further away they are getting
from us,
from number three in the rest of Africa. Because number one is South Africa, everybody again Africa. Number two, Namibia is about to do the same. They're just going to be by themselves there.
Yeah, so we're fighting for number three. But even at that, at having said that, even now, if you're looking at the way that our youth programs are going, the Kenyans
not
have
going.
What he mentioned,
make us see fire.
What he's mentioning right now, they get better. Analysis of Namibia's World Cup history. The points scored against them
have been
the
consistently getting lower.
Yeah. And what that they are scoring.
Doc, people were expecting a lot from New Zealand because 2015 opening match in Namibia was New Zealand.
Mm.
Tromp scored a try against the All Blacks.
No, it was Daisel.
Nah, Tromp as
no,
the Daisel, fullback.
Man. No, the center. The what's his name? The guy who was at the Sharks.
Tromp scored. Google. They didn't just score one try.
Okay.
I'm saying
the guy who bounced because the center
and
bounced.
And you know what? In 2009, when we beat these guys 39-0, Trump was in their team. He came up to me and said, "Hey, bro, do you know Heinrich Smith? Guys go to the same high school in South Africa. That's my homie." I was like, "Ah, bo, but we weaved you on." And now Trump scored against the All Blacks.
Yeah.
Before that, they gave us 80.
Yeah,
come get some.
Yeah, this is the thing.
So,
and the other thing is, that train never stops; it keeps chugging along.
Yeah, well, again, we rest on our laurels, didn't we? We rested on our laurels and we thought everything was okay. But speaking of Zim Rugby, the academy, I think they might actually sniff out a win this weekend.
I doubt it.
Against Eagles?
Nah.
Against SWD?
Nah. Nah.
What?
Nah.
What did Gavin say?
Gavin said they might sniff
they
a
might
win.
Sniff out a win.
To sniff it, but not to
not to grab it.
I mean, they had
but I was thinking that. I don't know.
They had a good that.
But we mustn't take scores, Sharks into consideration.
Yeah, that Sharks pack was full of kids.
Because to start off with, I don't think these teams that will play against will. I don't think our opposition will put up their strongest side against us.
SWD will go.
They will because they are a weaker team.
Because they don't want to lose face. Yeah. They will. It's a big game for them.
But they are not cheaters. I want to see the
Vayo.
Top side because they see academy team here as an opportunity for the youngsters run just like the Sharks.
But then we don't. This is the thing. We lack context, and then we think that okay, we're actually doing very very well.
This is
well.
Why I'm saying, good. We mustn't take that into context. Did you forget to
go? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's nothing against the efforts of the players, because I mean, they're playing their hearts out. They're really trying their best.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, again, they've been hung out to dry a little bit. And I made this point earlier, they've been hung out to dry. But it's very good to see a couple of guys getting in that team and getting that exposure. I have to say, the flanker, the kid from Sports Club, Blythe. That kid needs that. That kid's a gem, bro.
You've got a crush on that one.
No, he's a very good player.
Cool.
He's a very good player. Childish jokes aside, I think he's a very good player. He is. And he is... Because I don't think you've noticed, but Zim has actually struggled to fill that void.
Yes.
In terms of our back row. Yeah. We're struggling in the second row in the back row.
he can actually, he's filling that void in the background. He's a very good player, dynamic, and it's good to see someone like him getting. See, this is my issue. This team is for people like him who need that.
Yeah.
Who need that exposure.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go further on with my argument, but you know exactly where I'm coming from. This has been discussed by many people. Guys like him are the ones who really benefit from playing in this competition.
Yeah.
And then get a taste of it.
Yeah.
Check the levels.
Exactly.
But it's not 100% beneficial because also you're...
It's neither here nor there.
Coaching.
It's neither here nor there.
Moving into the weekend. Super 6 is on hold, is it?
For 6 weeks.
Yep. Super 6 is on hold for 6 weeks.
Well done.
Woohoo!
We're going to qualify for a World Cup with that lack of foresight.
Right.
Brilliant.
So, but the other second team league is on.
And some teams are opting to throw their first team players into the second league so they can still have game time.
That's the worst thing to do, eh? Buzzers League, you know, Nets are him now. Look at my injuries.
Buzzers League is where you pick up a stupid injury.
Stupid injuries.
Stupid. Mm. I mean, you can foot, ankle.
Who are you playing? I was playing.
I fractured my fibula playing a reunion match.
Oh.
For the first team that I never played for in high school.
Well.
Yeah. No. Let things go past you. You don't go pin the busy. Just let things slide. You fractured your fibula because of FOMO.
Oh.
It wasn't really FOMO. It was just...
Just you.
Just rugby.
Just you. Why do we say?
Tamba rugby.
Kuspak. And is
it?
And if you hadn't played, you would have felt like you did what? Like you missed out.
I was.
Fear of FOMO. I was. Because I'm telling the truth. Can you see him? He's getting touched because he knows I'm telling the truth.
Yo.
Look at. If you're using that as a basis, look at all my other injuries. Was they fearing?
Yo. Let's move along.
You didn't have to play that game. This injury, you had to play the game.
So I'd like to ask you guys to do one thing, eh?
Yeah.
And growing also, I didn't have to play the game.
Where did you hit your
Bulawayo?
Nah, it wasn't Bulawayo.
But you went with injury.
The weekend before, I went. But I actually realized.
But you went and played. Wait, hold on. You played with a soul, great.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
And warm-up is when I realized. I wasn't training.
Him going to Bulawayo was required. It wasn't looking good when we were going to Bulawayo that game. So I think when you go there, you're like, ah, bro, it's not working.
So we're not quite a brain warmer.
That season, I played three opening matches.
People. You played what?
Three opening matches.
Yeah.
Full 80 minutes as a pro. That third match is when I felt that, you know what, man, this is a normal injury. I'll be fine by next week. I didn't go to training because they had water. When I got to Blues, I was like, you know, my flu is bo. Let me warm up. Try to run like this. Can't walk. Can't lift leg, Baba.
Yeah, you know, it's in rugby, bro.
Yep.
So, rugby. One thing I want to ask you guys to do, maybe if you get a moment, watch that Major League Rugby, Yego America, and just give us your thoughts next time we meet up.
Nah, I watched a few games.
Watch a few games. B, have you watched that?
No, not really. I
just watch some highlights on YouTube. Big up B.
I watched a few games. But they're also having issues, guy.
Big.
Money's but not coming.
They're competing, huh? They're competing with all those other major sports in America, of course. But hopefully they pull it off.
Yeah, man. Again, that's just more ground that we're losing. Again.
Of course.
More ground we're losing. And it's sad to say it. But hey, I don't know. The future, we'll see what happens over the next couple of years. But that's more ground we're losing.
It's been a sad episode from the clubhouse in Newlands. We'll see you next time.
Hopefully HBU Waters is low.
I know, bro.